more than half of U.S. adults. So I believe it was 52%. Okay. So when they have like these, you know, preachers who are out there and they call them prophets, right? And they're in the $50 million airplanes and whatnot. It's academics, people in seminary school, they teach this also.
People, of course, call the gospel books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, they call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because we don't know who wrote these books, and there's no point calling them Sam, Fred, Jerry, and Harry.
Dr. Marwan Mohammed, how are you, my brother? It's always good to connect with you. How have you been? How's everything?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alamin. We're here trying to do what we can as far as trying to do da'wah and trying to show the people, you know, the beauty of Islam and just trying to dispel some misconceptions. That's the what we're trying to do here. How are things from your end, Akhi?
Everything's good, alhamdulillah. It's very fascinating. I mean, you brought up this new statistic that came out. More than half of U.S. adults, so I believe it was 52%, they believe that Jesus was just a good teacher, that he wasn't God. And it's the same thing that Islam is saying, that Jesus never claimed to be God, wasn't God. Not only was he a teacher, but he was a mighty messenger, one of the five greatest messengers that we have, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Prophet Muhammad just being the last. And then it's not peace be upon them all. But then also they talk about that 30% of evangelicals believe that Jesus isn't God. That, I mean, you can't imagine that. Now flip that. Imagine, Dr. Marwan, if you just had like 50% of Muslims don't believe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah, or that Allah is God, or something like to the likes, you know?
Yeah, because what's amazing is the fact that this is considered to be the tenet of Christianity. First, as far as us Muslims, like no one can claim to be a Muslim if not, for instance, witness or testimony that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing, I mean, we're not here, we're not, you know, stepping on anybody's toe, but according to mainstream Christianity, someone does not believe that Jesus is God, then that absolutely takes them out of the fold of mainstream Christianity, because that's one of the tenets of Christianity, is to believe in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or he is God.
So what you're saying is, I mean, you're confirming that, look, it's a tenet of Christian faith that to believe that Jesus is not only God, but he's part of a triune nature, and it gets confusing as we go along from there. And again, like what you said, something really important. We're not trying to disparage the Christian faith or our fellow Christian friends out there. But I mean, this is just us now sharing what we believe to be the truth in a respectful, honorable way. But now also you have the statistic coming and siding with what we have in Islam, that he's not God, nor did he ever claim to be God. And that's very, very, very powerful now. I mean,
this is extremely, extremely, extremely stunning, because like, and to kind of show you, put you in perspective, Akhi, I'm going to read to you what like the head priest have said about this statistic. So this is what he said. He said the statistics, and this was mentioned by Stephen Nichols. This is what he said. He said statistics like this from the State of Theology survey can give us quite a shock, but they're also shed light on the concern of that many American Christians and churches have expressed for decades, as the culture around us increasingly abandoned its moral compass. Professing evangelicals are sadly drifting away from God's absolute standards in scripture. Then this is what was reported by Stephen Nichols, and he is the head of this theology. SubhanAllah, this is absolutely amazing, Akhi. Because thing is, this is absolutely shocking to many Christians. Because you were talking about, you know, first of all, more than half Americans, they believe that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he is not God. Okay, but to us Muslims, and I think I need your also input in this. This is not considered to be a shock for us, because we already believe that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he's a mighty prophet. But unfortunately, I think what I find it really sometimes bothersome to me personally is that people like sometimes belittle the fact that someone is a prophet, and they would say, is he just a prophet? What's your take on this, Brother Eddie?
Just to push the point home so people can understand, because we have tenets also in the deen in Islam. Mm-hmm. And Islam simply meaning to submit your will to the creator of the heavens and earth. And we believe, obviously, that as a Muslim, Jesus submitted his will to the creator of the heavens and the earth. And at his time, you would make that declaration that there's nothing worthy of worship except the one God, the creator, God Almighty Allah. And at his time, you would say Jesus is the messenger. So it's just like taking that out now. You know, if you say La ilaha illallah, and that's it, you stop. You don't say Muhammad Rasulullah, and you just cut that half out. It's void. It's batil. It's just, you know, or if you take the five pillars, you know, which you have in Islam, and you take one of them out, that's it. You just destroyed everything. So this is what we're saying. Like what they're saying, this is a pillar. This is their theology, their whole thing. But what's your question? You talked about the belittling, you know, because I think a lot of times when you mention prophet, I don't know if you've ever seen that L.A. Preachers. Have you ever seen that show, L.A. Preachers?
No. Remind me.
Okay, so when they have like these, you know, preachers who are out there, and they call them prophets, right? And they're in the $50 million airplanes and whatnot. So they have this in their mind. When you say prophet, it's some person on the south side, some guy in this church, and he's a prophet, you know. So they're like, no, you can't. But when we say messenger prophet, we're talking about these people ain't prophets. We're talking about people who God Almighty sanctions as prophets. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, David. These are the real messengers that got the prophets and messengers that God Almighty. So I think we got to clear this up, because there's a lot of, you know, misconceptions within that by itself.
The issue here is that people belittle like the mightiness and the honor of someone choosing an individual to be a prophet of God. I mean, this is absolutely, I mean, like, it's such an honor. Like, so these are considered to be the best being that ever walked in the surface of earth. And so this is not something, according to Islam, and you could maybe comment on this. I mean, according to Islam, not all prophets are the same level. Like, for instance, we have, you know, five prophets who are considered the Ulul Azm, right, Brother Eddie?
Yes, the greatest. I mean, you have, I mentioned them earlier when we started, five of the greatest that I mentioned. We have Noah, right? You have Moses, you have Jesus, Abraham, you have, these are Muhammad being the last and final. So you have these are the greatest. I mean, and Jesus, I mean, when we mention this, the commonalities of him being the Messiah, of him being somebody who has such a great status just in Islam. I mean, you know, if you just utter one, you know, you often hear this thing by some ignorantly who will say like, oh, Muslims, they are anti-Christ. And I asked, you know, I asked Christians, and I'm sure you do, you've asked also, how can we be the anti-Christ when we love Christ? When we love Jesus, Christ just mean the Messiah, you know, Christos, and then translated, you know, the anointed one. So he had such a high status, you know, and this doesn't diminish him or put him down in any which way. And I remember having a guest, his name is Benjamin, and I had him on the program, and we were talking, and he was like, when he started to hear some of these things that we're talking about, some of these bullet points, these points, very important points, he was like, man, why? And he went from being a hater of Islam to actually forming a connection with Muslims and defending, actually, I did this program, you can watch it, and defending Muslims, and he changed his views. He said, man, these guys, when they say Jesus, they say peace be upon him. You follow me? They respect his mother. They respect him to such a high level. So in no way is this a derogatory. Is it a put down? In no way, shape, or form at all. But just identifying him, how he identified himself, because he never, as you know, never claimed to be God or a literal son of God. But he humbled himself and he worshiped God, and he called people to worship God. Clear. And we're just repeating that message that he repeated. Simple.
So this is the absolutely stunning that I see in this, in which that, yani, gradually, and subhanAllah, and this is I find it even without da'wah. Like, I mean, I think we all admit as Muslims that we are, you know, we're not doing our fullest potential when we do da'wah. And this is kind of gradual, like by itself, like without any sort of foreign intervention, people arrived at this fact. And this, for me, this is absolutely amazing. Subhanallah. And as you know, as Muslims, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, have installed what we call the natural instinct in a human being, which is what we call the fitrah, you know? And for someone to arrive at this naturally without any foreign intervention, I find that this is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And I want, Brother Ali, I wanted to kind of share this. I want to put this in the screen with everyone, so people will be able to kind of see what we're talking about here. So this is Brother Ali. Look at this. So when they were asked, Jesus was a great teacher, but was not God. Look at this. Only 27% of the people said yes, but the rest of them, you know, they were not sure, and they agree the fact that he was just a teacher. I mean, again, he was a great teacher. But again, when we talk about, like, and this is, I think, part of the fact that, and Sayyidina Rasul, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, our beloved Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, I mean, he taught people quite a few things. He taught people how to worship God, like you have mentioned. He taught people how, for instance, to submit to the will of God. He taught people pure monotheism, you know. I mean, do you see how amazing this graph is? And subhanAllah.
It is, and we don't just stop there, because again, we're even closer to his true teachings and message and his true title, because here it just says people are saying he was just a great teacher. No, he was a great teacher, but I mean, he was a messenger of Allah, right? So you could be a great teacher at school, at the university, and then, you know, it just stops there. No. He had a message for humanity. He was a messenger. He did miracles. He came with signs. He called people to worship one and only one God. He never claimed to be God. And he brought evidence. He did those miracles. We attest to that. I mean, it's clear. So you can't just, and we don't just stop there. We continue on. But we don't transgress the limits and now equal him in any which way, shape, or form to being the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's just where you fully stop. You don't go there. Because a human being cannot be God.
Subhanallah. I mean, and to kind of, I want to put everyone in the same perspective as far as, yani, showing people that, yani, at the end of the day, we're not really inventing this, you know, we're just showing people what the new news, and this is the actual article, Brother Eddie, and so everyone could take a look at it. So this is more than half of the U.S. adults. 30% of evangelicals believe that Jesus is in God, and this is what they asked. They said, in this study, this is what they have done. You know, is it for this study, evangelicals were identified as people who strongly agree with the following four. So to be an evangelical, you have to have four of these things. The Bible is the highest authority of what I believe. Again, you know, the minority of the people believed in this. The Bible is the highest authority. You know. It's an important for me to personally encourage non-Christians to trust in Jesus. That's again, this is something also very minor people have answered this question right, or they answered it with yes. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was the only sacrifice, okay? And those who trust in Jesus alone to receive their Savior from God, or the salvation from God. But subhanAllah, this is absolutely, yani, subhanAllah, this is stunning for many people. And subhanAllah, yani, I was, you know, I would say, akhi, this is nothing, yani, outside of the fold of Islam. Because, you know, as Muslims, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what he chose all his messengers to do. I mean, not just Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, not Jesus Christ, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that's out of his mercy and love. He sent them as guiders, guiding us to the truth. I mean, this is something that, and when we started off, when you look at, we said that this was something that's part of the tenet of the faith of theirs today. But you know as well as I do, Dr. Muhammad Marwan, when you go back and you really go back to the true teachings of Jesus, this wasn't a tenet during his time or during his sahabas, his companions' time. There was no such thing as a trinity. There was no such thing as worshiping the creation or worshiping Jesus. These were not the teachings of his companions or any of that. So if you are a true Christian, a true follower of Christ at that time, you would be doing what Muslims do today. And that's the pure monotheism, directing all your worship to God Almighty alone, the one God. I mean, this is so the further you get away from that, you know, the more corruption, the more tainting, editing, addition, subtraction, and altering the true message of Jesus. And so when we see this, we see people, because there's nature and nurture. So the child, if you left that child alone, he's going to just grow up naturally to worship God Almighty alone. Now you got to teach him this man is God, indoctrinate him, and then he goes away from that, right?
And by the way, I mean, this is, again, we're not really bringing anything out of our pockets. I mean, this is, I want to make sure that our viewers understand this fact. The fact that, I mean, really, I mean, we're not just saying, oh, we're just referring the Quran as our only source of guidance. I mean, things as Muslims, we believe in the Gospels of Jesus, you know, and we believe that Jesus, you know, if we look at even the current Bible with scrutiny, we'll be able to find many verses that indicate the human aspect of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. And I would like to share a few, and then I want also Brother Eddie to comment on this. Like, for instance, when we read this in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers 23:19, God says, God is not a human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. I mean, so God is, I mean, explicitly saying God is not a human. Because thing is, this is for us as we believe as Muslims that, you know, you cannot be, when it comes to a Muslim belief, we don't believe that the two human and that can be a human and divine at the same time. Could you comment a little bit on that? Why this is considered to us a no-no, Brother Eddie?
That reminds me, you quoted the Numbers verse. You also have Hosea 11:9, for I am God and not man. It's very clear. But I like to back it up when I talk to our Christian friends, neighbors, to let them know, because we can entertain these verses and God Almighty. And like you said, I mean, we believe in the original Torah, what was given to Musa, Moses, in its original. Today, we don't have it in its original. We believe in the Injil, Allah calls it that, in its original, right? We don't have it today. So what was given to Daoud, Zabur, in its original, we don't have it today. So you have bits and pieces here of the truth, but that's why God Almighty, Allah, sent the Quran. This is tamper-free, tamper-proof, in its pristine form. Anyone who puts it to the test will conclude that it's from the creator of the heavens and the earth. But now, the Bible, as we have it, if you go to any judge and you're bringing the evidence, as soon as that evidence now has been tainted, you following me? You cannot go ahead, because we don't have, Bible scholars tell us, we don't have a copy of a copy of, look, again, not to disparage on anyone. I know this could be sensitive or a shock for a lot of people, but these are just what academics, people in seminary school, they teach this also.
People, of course, call the gospel books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, they call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because we don't know who wrote these books, and there's no point calling them Sam, Fred, Jerry, and Harry. I mean, they're written by people, we don't know who they were written by. They are anonymous. You might not think so because they have the title, The Gospel According to Matthew. Whoever put that title on it was an editor later. The followers of Jesus were Aramaic-speaking peasants from Galilee, lower-class men who were not educated. In fact, Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, are literally said to be illiterate. They couldn't read and write. Of course not. They were fishermen. They didn't go to school. The vast majority of people in the ancient world never learned to read, let alone write. And their native language was Aramaic. These books are written in Greek by highly educated, rhetorically trained writers who are skilled in Greek composition.
So we're just relaying the truth. Now you have, we don't have, like many Bible scholars, one Bar Aram has stated and many others, we don't have a copy of 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 any original, okay, text, right? No original Bible. You don't have that. So imagine, I make an analogy. Imagine the police officer, Dr. Marwan, pulls you over and asks for your driver's license. And now you give him a piece of paper and he says, what is this? He says, that's a copy of my driver's license. No, it's actually, I lost the driver's license. Where is it? But it was a copy, something that wasn't even the original copy of that. Did I confuse you enough, or do you get the point? And over there, it has your date of birth is changed. Then you have your height, color of hair that's been edited. And it's like, what is it? Would they accept that? Can you use that as a proof in a court of law?
You can't.
You cannot do that. So, okay, so that's full stop. The authenticity of the book, that would just, in a court of law today, anyway, it would be thrown out. But now if we entertain, like what you were saying, I mean, you do have some verses, you know, that are clear, you know? Then you have, like, for instance, Jesus saying that the Father is greater than I. This is in John 14:28, right? But then the teachings today is that Jesus is equal to the Father. So here he's saying, look, that God Almighty is greater. He's greater than I, greater than all. But then the teachings that you've been that's the nurture. Now you're just feeding this, you know, the indoctrination, right? Changing the text and the teachings. Then you have another, the Lord, where he said, peace be upon him, in Mark 12:29. The Lord our God is one. Look. And then verses, what the church. It's clear, and this is what Islam is. It's clear, he's one. But then verses, what's being taught, okay, made up, that God exists as three persons. You get it? And then we can keep giving examples. I'll give you a couple more real quickly. I by myself, he's quoted as saying in John 5:30, that I of myself can do nothing. Look, you go to the, I just give an example, you go to the secretary and say, I can't do nothing for you, man. I got to get approval from the boss, right? So Jesus, peace be upon him, he's telling you, I can't do nothing. But then the teaching is that Jesus is all powerful, right? One more in John 20:17. It's stated that he's saying, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, right?
This is my favorite verse, by the way.
Is it?
This is absolutely my favorite verse, because this one, he's explicitly saying, I'm going to go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God.
Yes.
SubhanAllah.
To my God and your God, my Father. And then the teaching is that he's the only Son of God. So you see, we made a difference, a contrast. Okay, this is what he's saying explicitly, clear. It just, you don't need a, you know, a PhD, a doctorate degree, clear verses. But then what you have people will throw in ambiguous, and you hear this, all ambiguous verses, you know, I and the Father are one, whoever sees him, see, you know, all these ambiguous that can have multiple meanings. It's not clear. So when you put the clear next to ambiguous, then you'll see, and you compare that, contrast that with for all the other messengers brought and the Quran, then, and if you're sincerely looking for the truth, Allah, God Almighty, will guide you to the truth, which is clear.
Actually, what I found really interesting, because thing is, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, out of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslims have this right when it comes to the aqidah or trying to prioritize the tenets of our Muslims. Like, if you ask any scholar of Islam, he would tell you that you would build ambiguous verses on clear verses. Like, and that's why, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentioned this in the Quran. He said that there are some verses, so there are some verses in the Quran that are clear, and sometimes they're mutashabihat, like they're like other verses, you know. So what we do best, part of our, you know, and but part of our, yeah, the core part of our religion as Muslims, that we take what is clear and we build on it. It's not the other way around. Like, we can't build, we cannot build, you know, translate clear facts based on ambiguous verses, you know. So yes. And I think this is the part that unfortunately we see many evangelicals are, you know, when we try to discuss with them, that they have it kind of upside down, because they wanted to translate what is ambiguous, but what is clear based on what's ambiguous, but it should be the other way around.
And this doesn't, again, it's common sense. And I just always repeat, I mean, this is with all the utmost respect for all of our Christian friends and neighbors, but you just have to, like, you know, just use the same common sense you use in a business deal, for math, for accounting. God Almighty Allah gave us this common sense of reasoning. Use the same thing. I mean, because the belief that Jesus here, as it's evolved, which we already stated, it wasn't the core true teachings of any of the prophets and messengers they brought. This goes opposite to it. But the belief nowadays that's evolved, and there's a whole history behind it, you know, how it did, why it did, that Jesus is God, part of a Trinity, the incarnation of God on earth, versus if you just look, common sense again, just look, that Jesus, peace be upon him, he was born, he ate food, right? And God Almighty Allah, he mentions this in the Quran. Don't you see how they look, how they ate food? Because what goes after that? Then you're going to go use the restroom. You're going to use the bathroom. How can you equate that attribute, that defect now of carrying feces, because just let's be blunt about it. A human being carries feces from day to night, right? Even he went from the diaper, you know, now inside it's covered, but you're carrier of feces. How are you going to, that's the insult to the creator of heavens and earth. He slept, he prayed, and the list goes on. He had limited knowledge. All those are the attributes. They're not befitting God. Right? We say, glory, subhana rabbi al-ala, glory be to my Lord, the Most High. He's the one with the perfect names and attributes. But when you make him a human being, now he has deficiencies. You have insulted him. I give this example. If you wanted mercy and you went to a judge, imagine you're, you know, at the mercy of a judge, and you call him a son of a monkey, right? Say, hey, Mr. Judge, you know, and you insulted, you said, you know, hey, you son of a monkey, right? Can you save me, get me out of here? I mean, but now imagine, look, and there's a verse in the Bible that talks about what is man but a worm, you know, and a son of man. Look, you know this verse that I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I read it, but I can't recall.
So now you when you bring God Almighty, you know, who's the Most High, and you put him on earth and you have him eating, sleeping, and defecating, and you wouldn't want to be called a son of a monkey, but what are you insulting God? People don't think. Common sense. We got to use our common sense and think with all due respect.
Yeah. I mean, I think the beauty in Islam, and we see the same thing, by the way, in many other, like, for instance, even in Judaism, they have the same thing that we have when it comes to, like, the distinction between the divine being and the human being, is that you put each and every individual on his status. Like, for instance, we would call an ant, and we would call a human being. We would call it so we put each one of them. So in the same token, I wanted to emphasize this, just because we're not calling Jesus God, that does not mean we're belittling him. No, God is God, a prophet is a prophet, and regular human beings are human being. That's it. You know, yeah, subhanAllah, when we read, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, this is what Jesus said, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Yeah, this is in John 7:16-18. It comes from the person who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find whatever my teaching come from God, or whatever I speak of my own. So subhanAllah, yani he is blankly saying that, look, whatever I'm saying is not from me. God has sent me. You know, God is, he's the one who's all the good teaching is coming from. So subhanAllah, I find it extremely amazing when we read these beautiful verses. Because thing is, as a Muslims, and I think many people agree with me, that, you know, we don't believe that all of the Bible is corrupt. Some of it is, it has some the truth. But yeah, as you mentioned before, some of it, yeah, it have changed over time.
I mean, obviously you can find, I mean, some amazing teachings in the Bible that, you know, teach you to be a good, righteous, upright human being. So many similarities, you know, between Islam and the teachings, and when people look at it. But then you have additions, you have things that have been added. That verse I was talking about earlier was Job 25:6. You know, how much less a mortal who is a maggot, this is in the Bible, and a human being who is a worm, you know. Just illustrating, you know, when you cannot, God Almighty is perfect. He's perfect. There's no defect, nothing. But you cannot now take a imperfect human being and now try to make him into a God. It doesn't make sense. And this was something that wasn't taught by, when you go back in the chronological order, when you look at the message of Abraham, who God Almighty Allah tells us, he wasn't a Jew or a Christian, right? He wasn't a Jew or a Christian, but he was a pure monotheist, right? And he called his people to worship. Did he call his people to worship Jesus? No. He called them to worship the one God, the creator that Jesus worshiped. So that's the fitrah. Not right now, if they're listening. People are listening. This just, you don't have to now if you do kufr, you cover it up and you're rebelling and you're fighting. But this doesn't take a lot. Just takes common sense to be like, wow, that actually makes sense, right? And if you let that in and you just, you know, you're sincerely seeking the truth, God Almighty is going to guide you. And then if you have any questions, you can come to our brother, Dr. Muhammad Marwan, ask a Muslim, right? Don't go to the haters. Go and connect and ask a Muslim. This is the way, you know what I mean?
So the thing is, yeah, I want to really, if you could kind of elaborate a little bit, Akhi, on some of the things you said. Like we said that God Almighty has certain descriptions. Like, for instance, when we say, even when you look this word, the word God, in the Webster dictionary, there's certain descriptions that befitting God. Like, for instance, we say God is all-knowing. God is all-living. God is all-powerful. Yeah. God is not, I mean, he's self-sustaining, you know. So when we, so this is by definition. And in Islam, we cannot say two things can coexist together, meaning that we say that a human being cannot be divine and a human being, because you cannot have a squirrel, a square, and a circle in the same time. Yet, in the same token, we see, for instance, some verses in the Bible that support the fact that Jesus, even he's saying that I'm a human being. Like, for instance, I think you mentioned one of it indirectly. He said that Jesus, peace be upon him, in the Bible, he said that I don't know when is the hour, right?
Yeah. This is showing that his you know, you often ask, you say, was he, if you quote this verse, I mean, he's either, you know, and again, this is all due respect, was he just ignorant? Ignorant means he didn't know, or is he lying when he's asked this verse? So, you know, God can't be ignorant, and God doesn't lie. So when he's asked this, what is it? He just didn't know. So equals, he's not God. Simple.
Even, I mean, so the Christians would not feel like we're trying to put him down. I mean, like, even Prophet Muhammad, when he was asked about an hour, he said, I don't know. I mean, any human beings and any prophet of God, when he was asked about the hour, he would not, because this is something of the knowledge of the unseen, the knowledge of the divine, God Almighty.
Yeah, but think about that. That's when he's being asked, when is that day or hour? He's saying nobody knows. The same, and now you link that, like you just beautifully said, Prophet Muhammad was asked the same thing, right? He said, what have you prepared for it? Huh? He didn't know. That's not even the angels know, but God Almighty knows. So that goes back to what we were saying, perfect names and attributes, right? God is all-knowing. He knows everything. You still got to call a plumber. You still got to call an electrician, because you might be good at framing, putting up drywall, but your resources, you're a doctor actually by profession, right? But do you know all the skills in all the areas? They're specialists in certain areas. You're limited, right? For a foot doctor, you call a podiatrist, is right? So we're limited. Yeah. So God Almighty is not limited. His knowledge is all-encompassing, perfect. But Jesus, peace be upon him. And this is just common sense. He didn't know everything. This is no disrespect to him or our Christian friends and neighbors. But many who are, I've interviewed over the years, you know, many who have theologians and people who have just like been truthful with themselves, who really like, you know, turned the light bulb on, and they were like, hold on. They looked at the text and they saw that they're preaching one thing. Dr. Gerald Dirk was one of them. He went to seminary, finished divinity school, Harvard divinity school. And then he was looking at the text and he saw, this is not in the Bible. We're preaching it. He was trying to be real with himself. And then he looked into Islam and exposure to it, and he accepted it, right? So it's not like we're trying to tear everything down. You just got to continue on. There's another messenger who came, and that's Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
That's what we believe. Islam is nothing but the continuation of the message of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. And the thing is, subhanAllah, what I think people are not exposing or not showing, the fact that I think, you know, Jazakallah Khair, you mentioned this earlier on, that the original followers of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, were not, I mean, they did not believe in the Trinity. They did not believe Jesus. I mean, and the thing is, like, don't take our words for it. I mean, I really encourage anyone who's looking for the truth to search this, and I really want to encourage everyone to do this. Search the people who are named the Ebonites. Please, I mean, I would ask you, please go to Google now and search who are the Ebonites. They're the original followers of Jesus Christ, people. And what did the Ebonites believe in? They believed that Jesus Christ was what? A human being. He was a prophet of God. The Nazarenes, and this is kind of an evolution of this. They believe the same thing. Jesus, peace be upon him, was not God. And even when it comes to, like, for instance, the Council of Nicaea, which is the very first convention that was brought together to see to figure out the nature of Jesus. You know, was everybody agreed the fact that Jesus Christ was God? No, I mean, there was, you have the Arians, which is an opponent. He and with his crew came into this council to say that Jesus Christ was not God. You know, so subhanAllah, this is nothing new. And I mean, just to kind of support the point, we still have Christians nowadays. I mean, even though people don't consider them Christians, who believe Jesus was not God. Like, they would call him what? Unitarians, right?
Yes, that's a great example. And I can give you another example of those, because this connects, because sometimes as a Christian, you might be thinking like, hold on, am I like doing the wrong thing here? My fitra, my innate nature is pulling me to what you guys are saying, right? But then you just give me some examples when you go back and back and back and you see like the original way was that pure monotheism, right? The true Christians, the followers of Christ, they didn't believe in a Trinity. They believed that Jesus was a messenger. And then even in the heart of Europe, where my family's from, Bosnia, they had, at that time, they went away from the church. Some call them the Bogomils, those close to God. Some call them the Unitarian Christians. But history shows that they were some of the largest group of Christians that accept. So they were those who called themselves Christians. They didn't worship Jesus. They believed he was a messenger. They didn't pray in the church. They prayed outside. And then what happened was when Islam came to them, it fit like a glove. And then they ended up 60,000 plus accepted Islam. And to this day, that's where you have in the heart of Europe, in the Balkans, in Bosnia, and then spread from there. You have those Christians, Unitarians, who actually accepted Islam. And remember, Islam is just the encapsulation of the meaning of submitting your will to the will of the Creator of the heavens and earth. And this is how you acquire peace and get to paradise in the next life and avoid the hellfire. That's salvation. That's your salvation.
SubhanAllah. And again, this is something that, again, unfortunately, you know, not a whole lot of people know about this. And the part of our goal is to kind of show the people the real history. And again, this is nothing like really we invented this. Like, or this is, if you look up any history book, you know, they would tell you this is there. You know, mm-hmm. And at one point, to kind of share, again, not a lot of people know about this. At one point, the majority of Europe was Unitarian. The majority of Europe at one point after the death of Constantine, they were Ebonites. They believed in the belief of what the Ebonites had, in which that, you know, the Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was not God. Again, and with all of this, this is very, very important survey that I think that it's really an eye opener for many, many, many people. I mean, at the end of the day, we ask people to kind of, you know, look, explore. But just like we tend to we investigate over lively worldly matters, just like we tend to investigate to look at the truth of anything that exists in this world, we investigate to know what is the best medicine. We investigate to know who is the criminal. We investigate to know what is the best food to eat at. We investigate all sort of things. But I think it's really, really worthwhile. And it's really, really, really important that we investigate why God has put us in this earth. Yeah. To investigate and what's the real nature of Jesus. To investigate that all these religions were brought for that God have intended for us to have one and only religion, for us to one path. Because, you know, yes, we as Muslims, we're obligated to respect everybody. You know, this is a no-brainer. But in the same token, it does not make sense that God have made all these religions right toward him, because they cannot be all right.
They're no. Only there was always one way from the beginning. You had one humanity and one way of life that was sent for humanity. And that started with the first man, Adam. And he was told to do nothing else but to submit his will to the Creator of the heavens and earth. Equals Islam. He was a Muslim. Muslim is one who submits his will to the will of God. And throughout time, God Almighty Allah sent messengers. And not different religions, because we cannot have, it's not all roads lead to Rome. No, because what's going to happen? One messenger is teaching that, one thing, another one contradicting that message? No, it's the same message. Submit your will, not to creation or to a human being or to angels or saints or messengers, but to submit your will to the God of of Jesus, of creation, Allah in Aramaic, Allaha in Hebrew, Eloh, the one God. And do good deeds. That's a manifestation of your faith. You know, to be upright, to be honest, to be honoring your mother and your father, to be a good human being according to God's will, not your will, not your desires. And that's always been, it's a chain of revelation that's been there since the beginning. And I think that, like you so beautifully said, if people investigate more, not just fitting in, you know, on Sundays, or even a lot of Muslims, we have to call that out. A lot of Muslims just buy Muslim by name tag. You follow me? They just be, oh, because they have their faith, we have our, but they don't know the tenets. They're not praying. They also, you have to like consciously submit your will. And Islam is evidence-based, right? It makes sense. It's there for the blind man who can see, who can't see. Everything is laid clear as day. But you got to be sincere with yourself, and you got to do, like you said, research and really want to know why you're on this earth. You know, you're going to leave sooner or later. You're going to leave it all behind. Why am I here? You know, what am I living for? And where am I going when I die? And the Quran has everything that a human being needs to be successful. The Quran and the Sunnah in this life and the next. It's there. It's straightforward. And we just got to, like, you know, open our hearts and minds and ask. That's how I always leave people with the homework. If you want to know the truth, ask the owner of truth, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Do your homework. Say, guide me, guide me, guide me. And for the Christians, look at the Lord's Prayer. What do you? I often think, look at that. It's like the Al-Fatiha, isn't it? O our Lord, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's Islam. Thy will be done. That's Islam right there. And there's no praising of anyone other than the creator of the heavens and earth in that prayer, right?
True. Yeah. I mean, this is the word of Jesus. I mean, this is what he did, and this is what he called on. This is who he prayed to when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, my dear brother, this is, I'm really honored. I'm really honored to have Brother Eddie. Inshallah, you know, this is going to be the start. We want him to have, and maybe we could do this in both ends, me coming to him and him coming to us. There's a lot of things that we need to talk about. Again, and we need to talk more about, you know, the salvation through Islam. We want to talk about either why is it important to have, you know, to worship only one God? What is monotheism? You know, and how to avoid shirk. There's a lot of things that we need to talk about. But yeah, and with this being said, and I think we covered the subject. Yeah, Jazakallah khair, Brother Arif.
Ameen wa yak.
Yeah, may Allah bless you and reward you for having him. And he's a, mashallah, he's a very, very busy man. And he's, yeah, he's you know, his, and I encourage everyone to go into his Facebook page and to the Deen Show face and like it and follow it. Mashallah, they have very, very important things. To share with us. May Allah reward you, Brother Eddie.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
May Allah reward you. Inshallah, this is going to be for many things to happen. And inshallah, we will we would end with this. And again, I encourage everyone, if you have any questions, if you have any doubts, please let us know. You could watch the Deen Show. You can always ask a Muslim. And inshallah, we're here to help you and show you the path of Allah Ta'ala.
And if you like this episode of the Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe right now.